Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour Apostolic Sabbath Term Congregation, I was at the 12th hour. Today is September the 6th, 2025, or the 15th day of Elul, 2029. We will start our first service on this Sabbath. With the one-time greetings number 38, entitled by the Vichy Hala, "If not awaken now, they may sleep forever." Prayer thought. The Broadway of the Deception. All right, Mount of Blessing, 199. But the way to life is narrow, and the entrance straight. If you came to any besetting sin, you will find a way too narrow for you to enter, for your own ways, your own will, your evil habits and practices must be given up if you would keep the way of the Yahweh. All along the road that leads to death, there are pains and penalties, there are sorrows and disappointments, there are warnings not to go on. It is true that Satan's path is made to appear attractive, but it is all a deception. In the way of evil, there are bitter remorse and cankering care. We may think it pleasant to follow pride and worldly ambition, but the end is pain and sorrow. Selfish plans may present the flattering promises and hold out the hope of the enjoyment, but we shall find that our happiness is poisoned and our life embittered by the hopes that center in self. We need to pray this afternoon for a realization that with our sins, we cannot enter into the highway of holiness, Isaiah 35:8-10. No, not with our evil habits and practices. These must be discarded if our ultimate end is to be in paradise. We need to know that though the broad way appears flowery, it is only a camouflage. It appears strewn with the roses, but underneath are thorns, sorrows, pains, and disappointment of all kinds. We are to pray that we get a vision of the necessity to depart from the highway on which the born after the flesh travel and get on the highway. That's the born after the spirit travel. If not awakened now, they may sleep forever. Text of address, 50 Hollis, 7th, April 26, 1947. Our subject for this afternoon is found in Isaiah chapter 52, we shall begin with the first verse. Awake, awake, put on that strength that was on. Put on that beautiful garments, O Yerushalayim, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. At the time that this awakening calls goes forth, let's do it again. At the time that this awakening calls forth goes forth, let's do it again. At the time that this awakening call goes forth throughout the land, inspiration announces that the harvest time has arrived for the angels to put out and to keep out of the Zion and Yerushalayim the uncircumcised and the unclean. A work that the inspiration variously entitles, number one, the cleansing of the sanctuary, and number two, Daniel 8:14, purify the sons of Levi. And number three, purify the sons of Levi, Malachi 3:1-3, and number three, purification of the church, Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80. Verse 4. Judgment in the house of the Yahweh. 1 Peter 4:17. Number 5. The harvest. Matthew 13:30. Casting out of the bad fish from among the good fish, Matthew 13:47-48. Separating the sheep from the goats, the judgment for the living. The sinners of that we know have always been and are still among Yahweh's people. That the fulfillment of this scripture, therefore, is in the very near future is shown from the fact that the truth of this chapter is now unsealed and carried unto the church, endeavoring for the awakening of the people of the Yahweh and for impressing them with the fact as soon the harvest will commence, first separating the first fruits, the 144,000, from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, then to be followed by the second fruits from all the nations. Revelation 7:9. The scripture also shows that the sinners will no longer walk with the saints, and that the harvest ends the world, Matthew 13:39. Stop, think, and read over again Isaiah 51 and 52. Do not pass basically over this life and this subject. Who is the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, calling to awake? Zion and Jerusalem. Why not the house of the Judah? the house of Israel or some other. Who is Zion? And who is Jerusalem? Here are the answers in the Isaiah's time. Jerusalem was the capital city of the kingdom of Judah, and on Zion stood the palace of the king. And what could they anatomically represent? Comparatively speaking, Capitol Hill, the latest executive mansion of the United States, the White House, we might call the Zion of the United States, and the capital city of the nation, Washington, D.C. We might call the Jerusalem of the United States, okay. But the Yahweh, however, is not addressing the United States, and as Zion and Jerusalem are not in this instance personified, their counterparts, therefore, are as follows. The General Conference has a capital of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination must be the Zion of today, and the local conferences as the under rulers must be the Jerusalem of today. Who then is asleep and is being called to awake? The General Conference and the local conferences, the executive branches of the SDA denomination. If they were not asleep, why would inspiration be calling them to awake? Moreover, is it not true that they are blind to these scriptures? For they treat them as if they were not in the Bible at all. Does it not look to you that their preaching of having the whole truth as the last message have been in the need of nothing more is only self-deception? Is not the message of the judgment for the living the last instead of the judgment for the dead? And is not the former ever so much more important than the latter? The statement, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, plainly shows that Zion is weak and that Jerusalem is either naked or clothed with a filthy, ugly garment. Now, for the transposing of these terms from the figurative sitting into the actual, what should strength stand for if not for faith and the fulfillment of these prophecies? For the Master said that without faith, you can do nothing, but with it you can remove mountains. Faith, therefore, is what Zion and Jerusalem need today. Faith itself is as invisible as air, but when put into action, it can remove even greater obstacles than air can remove when it is put into action. Though we cannot see the wind, we cannot we can feel it and see the results of the power, so it is with the faith. Again, we're missing the key words here, and the blood is the key words. Everybody missed that. All of our translators have the scriptures to begin with. Next to consider are the garments. For the garment of a person is the first thing that attracts the eye. A beautiful garment, therefore, must represent something which transforms the appearance of the wearer from being spiritually ugly and filthy in the appearance to being spiritually beautiful and admirable. What then can it represent other than the true Christian character? Goodness, love, mercy, and justice. That which is visible and which makes a person likable and truly a respectable Christian, for the strength and the garment together, therefore, are nothing less than the righteousness of the Asherah. Face action and its results. These are the prerequisites which Zion and Jerusalem of the day need. These they need now, because henceforth the uncircumcised and the unclean, the unbelieving and the unforgiven sinners, those who do not have the beautiful garments on, shall be bound in the bundles for the fire, no more to be found among the saints. Isaiah 52:2, shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Zion and Jerusalem of today are not only naked, but they are filthy. They lie down in the dust, as it were, or still in the captivity, and do not even know it. And so the daughter of the Zion and Jerusalem, the Seventh-day Adventist denomination as a whole, is asked to arise from the dust and to sit on her throne, to free herself from the yoke of her captivity. The bands of her neck, she needs to realize that the day of her redemption is now here, that she is now to be made free, never again to be ruled by men. That's the uninspired man. Isaiah 52:3. For thus saith the Yahweh, you have sold yourselves for naught, you shall be redeemed without money. As this verse needs no comment, let us proceed with Isaiah 52:4-5. For thus saith the Yahweh, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith Yahweh, that my people have taken away from naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Yahweh, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. So the general compass, even today, it makes the Seventh-day Adventist to howl. And so general compass is spiritually Egypt as well. So my sister White said in 1888 to 1890, the Adventists are steadily retreating back to Egypt. And then in 1890, she said she has completely arrived in Egypt. Well, it means that she arrived and And the seventh day, the general conference, as she had accepted them as the majority of Adventists, accepted the general conference rulership over Ellen G. White's rulership. So that's what is meant by going back to Egypt, was the fact that they accepted the general conference in 1890. They that ruled over them made them the how. Well, that the general conference made them the how. These verses remind Zion and Jerusalem of today that they are oppressing the laity no less than the Egyptian masters and the Assyrian lords oppress the children of Israel. They make Yahweh's people howl, and thus they blaspheme his name and keep his people from coming into contact with the Yahweh's truth for this time. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. Because Yahweh's people are misruled, misled, and abused, and his name blasphemed, for he declared that he will not leave them in ignorance, for he promises that regardless how hard the carnal rulers of the unsifted Zion and Jerusalem try to keep the people in the ignorance of this sifting message, he will, in spite of it, cause his people to hear and to know that it is he speaking, not an enemy, as they are told. What does Yahweh think of this message and of his messenger? Let us read Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thou Yahweh reigneth. What better tidings than these would a people want? Actually, this should read, thy King Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh reigneth. What better tidings than these would a people want while in their captivity? If this message, the kingdom of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, kingdom purified, is not a message of the peace and security, then tell us what inspiration means by saying that the wolf and the lamb in Isaiah 6, the leopard and the kid, the calf and the lion, that's Isaiah 11, verse 6. Lie down together, and a little child shall eat them. And the inhabitants shall not say, I'm sick, for the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. That's Isaiah 33:24 also. Isaiah 52:8. For thy watchmen shall lift up their voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, shall bring again Zion. All of the Yahweh's people are servants. Let's do it again. All of the Yahshua's, Son of Yahweh's servants, shout together and with the joy exalt his message, their voice, because when the Yahshua again brings Zion, they shall see eye to eye. What a difference between Zion's watchman of today and her watchman of today, among whom hardly two actually see eye to eye. Only those who have withstood temptation and the strength of the Mighty One will be permitted to act as a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's message, when it shall have swelled and heard a loud cry, to view and herald, November 19, 1908, Evan G. White, Isaiah 52, 9 and 10, break forth into joy and sing together, ye waste places of the Yahusha, for the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, has comforted his people, for he has redeemed Mount Zion at the 12th hour, the Yahusha of today. For the Yahshua hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all of the nation, and all of the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Yahshua. When these things take place, then all of the earth shall see the salvation of our Yahshua, Son of Yahweh. But now let us hear his counsel as to what he would have us do. Isaiah 52:11, depart ye, go ye out from sin. Touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the blessings of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh. Those who bear the Yahshua's truth must be clean. They must be freed from every cord that binds them to the things of this world. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Yahshua will go before you, and the Yahshua of the Israel will be your reward. Our going into the land of our fathers, we are here told, is not to be in a fearful haste or flight, because the Yahshua himself shall go before us, as he did with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt with Moses, and he shall be behind us. Isaiah 52:13-14, behold, my servant shall deal prudently, for he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. These verses, as you know, have long been applied unto the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, for he nevertheless does not do all these things personally, but he does them through his messengers. Now note, in verse 13, for we are told that the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is greatly exalted. Well, let's read that again. For we are told that the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, is to be greatly exalted in the future. Whereas in the verse 14, we are told that his visage was so marred and his form more than the sons of men, for he has no form and no comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him, Isaiah 53:2. Why? For the only answer that can be given unto the question is this. For the Yahshua knows that the people's sinful nature urges them to make idols of men. They easily fall for men who can put forth a good front. They act as though they were baptized in the names of these modern Pauls and Apollos. They are followers of the pride and pomp rather than followers of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, and his progressive truth. for the breaking them away from this folly, Yahshua sends his truth through the unsuspected ones, thus contrary unto their liking and expectation, it is written that the Yahshua had no form nor comeliness, but in spite of it, he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Isaiah 52:15. So shall he sprinkle many nations, for the kings that shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. For he is the sprinkle, parentheses, cleanse, Ezekiel 36:25, many nations, those who will not turn away from the falling of the pride of the man, that is, the uninspired man, will be led for the falling into the ditch. For every vain person shall drop out through the sieve of the vanity. Verily, the followers of the truth and righteousness shall live forever. None of these things have ever been told unto any. It is, therefore, very important to stop, watch, and listen, and to the diligently for the diligently following of the truth itself, know that the vain may a display of themselves, of their achievements, and especially of their religion, know that they do this in order for the drawing of the hearts of their audiences to themselves, to get a following, to exert their influence, to put something over. For the Pharisees in Yahshua's day were very proficient in this heart of stealing profession. For they prayed on the corners of the streets to be seen by men, and thus they deceived them beyond reclamation. Behold, the name of the Yahshua cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy, for his lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath for his message for the day as an overflowing stream shall reach unto the midst of the neck, for the sifting of the nations with the sieve of the vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err, Isaiah 30:27-28. Ancient Israel wanted the tallest man in the land to be their king, and they got him, for he would have led them into the ruin, though, had it not been for the ruddy and unpretentious David, who delivered them from the Philistines' army and from their giant. It is a common practice among the Christians to make idols of men. This is recognized even by the ministry of the other denomination, for a certain minister speaking on the religion and not told his radio audience that he stopped at a service station to refill his tank. One day, while there, the attendant saw that the minister's voice sounded familiar and asked, "Are you the man I have been listening to every morning on the radio?" As soon as the attendant heard the minister say yes, he emphatically retorted, "I am disappointed in you. I thought I was listening to a preacher about 6 feet tall, weighing not less than 200 pounds. But now I see that you're only a little runt. This practice is typical among Christians. Briefly to summarize our study, we see that the time of the purification of the church is at hand, that Zion, the general conference, and Jerusalem, as the local conferences, are called to awake so that the daughter of the Zion, the church, Seventh Adventist Church, might be clothed with the righteousness of Yahshua, that she is weak, that she has not the righteousness of Yahshua, that the day of her redemption is now at hand, that she is to be freed from the man's rule and from the hypocrisy, as Zion and Jerusalem as they are today, for no less oppressing the laity than were the Assyrian lords oppressing the children of the ancient Israel, that Yahweh will not leave his people in ignorance, that they shall know it is speaking, it is he that is speaking, not an enemy, as they are made to believe, that the message of the kingdom of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, is a message of the comfort, that his faithful servant shall exalt his message, the voice, that after Zion and Jerusalem awake, they shall see eye to eye, and only those who have withstood the temptation and the strength of the Mighty One will have a part in the proclaiming of this message in the Loud Cry Review and Herald, November 19, 1908, that then all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, by his blood, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18 and 19, that the Yahshua sends his truth not through those who are exalted and idolized by men, but through the unsuspected servant, that those who do not turn from man shall fall, whereas the followers of the truth and righteousness shall live forever. That it is a sacred duty of all the truth bearers for the proclaiming of the message unto all of the brethren, for if they be not awakened now, they may sleep on forever. This brings into our study this